1340 96.5 KVGC. As promised on the phone with me this morning is Amador County Unified School District Superintendent Dr. Amy Slavinsky. Dr. Slavinsky, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Foggy where you're at?
Very foggy, yes.
Yeah, very foggy today. This is like one of the first times we've had fog all year long, really, that I can remember. So, well, today, Amador County Unified, and I should say, not only Calaveras Unified, but all of the school districts in the Calaveras County are going back to distance learning today. So it's not only Amador County, but also Calaveras Unified, and as I said, all of the school districts in Calaveras County due to the spike in the COVID numbers. And how did this come about for Amador County? I know that I talked with Mark on Friday, and he said he spoke with the health department, spoke with the County Office of Education, even talked with the state, and they made the decision to do that. How did that come about here in Amador County?
Well, here in Amador County, it was really a progressive thing that over a period of the last couple of weeks and days, we noticed our staffing conditions beginning to weaken. So, for example, Thursday and Friday last week, we had staff absences that ranged from 47 employees to 54 employees, including both classified employees and teachers. And then we've also noticed that in the hybrid model on our campuses, attendance was starting to decline. So, you know, we have our students attending in two cohorts on campus. One group goes on Mondays and Thursdays, and the other group goes on Tuesdays and Fridays, of course, to help with spacing people out and social distancing. And the Monday-Thursday cohort was down 191 students from Monday to Thursday. Last week, and that's pretty significant when you consider our small schools and our small district overall. And then we've also noticed in our elementary distance learning option, we are currently serving 362 students. It's like a school in and of itself now, with 138 students on the waiting list total and 74 of those still waiting. We've been able to place some of them, but 74 still waiting to get into the distance learning program. So all of that is telling us that, you know, even though we can still stay open and County Public Health supports us in staying open, our families and our staff are continuing to be concerned and then also getting sick. So in the past, pre-COVID, when staff showed any symptoms of illness, they're required to stay home.
Sure,
it's different
sure.
from how most of us in education operated over the years. You know, if we just had a headache or a sore throat or a sniffle, we would still come to work. But we cannot allow our employees to do that now. It's against county public health guidelines. So all of those things combined and watching our people who were able to come to work running ragged to keep up and cover all the bases, cover classrooms when there weren't enough substitutes. You know, we've had a couple of our high schools have four or five teachers without substitutes at a time. And we realized we needed to take a break, a short break, and regroup and take some time to strengthen our staffing so that we could return safely in January.
So, Amy, I've heard, you know, rumor has it that there was such a shortage that in some of these schools, kids were taken and put into socially distanced groups in like the multipurpose rooms, for example, and just sat and were watched by not necessarily teachers. Is that true?
We had one school where I believe that happened. I'm not aware of any others. And it happened, I think, twice. Mm-hmm. And that was a case where there were five teachers out and not enough subs to cover. We had two subs in that case. And so the wonderful teachers who were sick and couldn't come to work had provided lesson plans, as our teachers always do, and provided work for the students to do that was meaningful and in line with what they had been working on. And so, yeah, they went to the cafeteria, socially distanced, with these two substitute teachers that they had, and their work assigned from their regular teacher to work on during that period of time. You know, that once in a while, that's okay, but we certainly don't want to see that happening on a regular basis. That's not good for education.
So it sounds like to me, from what you're telling me, parents in the district want to return to district to distance learning?
Well, we're seeing that trend, yes. But, you know, there's still, you know, I'd say about 60%, 50 to 60% on any given day of, you know, students, of the total number of students who still are wanting to come to campus in a hybrid model. So 50 to 60% roughly. And that's very different from what we were planning on several months ago. You know, the early data showed that it would be more like 85%.
Right.
And so that has gradually sort of rapidly declined as people have become more concerned.
So you are hoping that by going to distance learning, you'll have all the teachers back?
Well, we're gonna take a break, and we're going to work on strengthening once again our substitute pool.
I mean via distance learning. So all the teachers have agreed that they will do distance learning, but they won't go into the classroom.
Correct. That is correct.
And I don't mean all of the teachers. I mean a majority or enough to put you in this situation.
Well, it's one of those things, like I said before, where if you just have a sniffle or a cough, you can stay home. You have to stay home in COVID, but you might be feeling well enough to teach remotely. So that's part of it. And then I think another part of it, too, is that, you know, we went through an extensive, our human resources office went through an extensive interactive process with many, many teachers who said they felt unsafe to return to work physically, or they had a medical note. And Dave Vicari, our assistant superintendent of human services, met individually with each one of those folks with union representation. And we were really glad to see that we were able to put effective accommodations in place for many of them to return physically to work, such as using plexiglass and extensive PPE, gowns and masks and those sorts of things. So we did, you know, in the hybrid, we did have many of our teachers, many come back, but then again, as time went by, some of them were getting sick or afraid.
Gotcha.
Or other things happening in their lives, such as, you know, bereavement or a family emergency, which happens. And then add to that, too, we had bolstered our sub pool extensively and raised our sub rate of pay from 110 a day to 175 a day. And then we started to have our sub say, no, I'm not going to do this under these conditions. You know, it's not worth getting sick. So they were declining jobs. And as at-will employees, they're not unionized. You know, they can choose whether or not they want to come to work as a substitute.
We're talking with Amador County Unified School District Superintendent Amy Slavinsky. The school district, as well as Calaveras Unified and all other schools in the Calaveras County area, returning to distance learning today. It's only for 4 days, Amy. Why the move? You just don't have the personnel? It seems to me that for 4 days, why disrupt everything?
Yeah, it's a really good question. We could have muddled through, you know, risking more people getting sick, students, you know, being, you know, having to be put in cafeterias due to lack of subs. Also, like I said, our staff who are coming to work are just running ragged to do all of the necessary disinfecting between classes, between cohorts, with limited staff. And principals and assistant principals, you know, substituting all day long in many cases, not being able to do their regular job. And for their sakes, for the students' sake, for everyone's health and safety's sake, we believed, and working closely with my cabinet team, that we needed to just take a short break, regroup, reset, bolster our staffing, and be ready to return in January.
Now, when I talked to Dr. Kerr last week, it was early in the week, she said at that time that I don't want to use the wrong terms here, but nobody caught COVID from being in school. there was students and teachers and, you know, other employees may have caught it outside of school, other transmission, but COVID was not transmitted from student to student or teacher to student within the classroom, within the schools. Is that correct?
Well, she's the expert in that area, and I totally trust her judgment. I heard her say that as well.
Uh-huh.
We are posting on our public webpage starting last week and on all of our social media our data for our staff and students. So if you go to our main webpage, you'll see a link to that information. It includes numbers of staff and students who've tested positive, numbers of staff and students who've had close contact and are quarantined since November 16th to the present, and then we'll be updating that every day. It also shows some other data like numbers regarding our lack of substitutes and other pertinent information. So while the transmission may not be occurring in classrooms or in school, it's happening out in the community or in family gatherings, I believe, our folks are getting sick, you know, and it's definitely affecting our people. But once again, the spike in the numbers in Amador County was not the thing that compelled me to make this decision. Mm-hmm. It was the lack of staffing to support the work that we needed to do and meet all of the CDC guidelines.
Now you just said, I made this decision.
Uh-huh.
Did the board have anything to do with this? Does the board have to agree with this? Or you as superintendent of the district can make the call yourself?
It could be either. Up to this point, those decisions had been board-level decisions. And because there was limited time to call a board meeting before we felt like we needed to make this adjustment, I invoked Board Policy 2210 and used my authority to temporarily move to distance learning. And so Board Policy 2210 states, in any situation in which immediate action is needed to avoid any risk to the safety or security of district students, staff, or property, or disruption to student learning, the superintendent or designee shall have the authority to act on behalf of the district. As necessary, the superintendent or designee shall consult with other district staff, including legal counsel and or the chief business official, regarding the exercise of this authority. The superintendent or designee shall notify the board as soon as practicable after he/she exercises this authority.
Mm-hmm.
So because time was of the essence, I felt compelled to rely on this and to move forward, and I did follow all of those steps.
Does the board go along with you on this? Do you know?
Well, actually, you know, that board policy says notify the board as soon as practicable after. And I did consult our California School Boards Association. You know, guidance indicates that it's the superintendent's responsibility to poll the board to determine whether or not a special meeting might need to be called.
Mm-hmm.
And so I polled the board and told them, you know, gave them information, just like I've been giving you information, same info, and asked each of them if they would like to call a special meeting and, you know, what their thought
right,
was about that.
Right. Now,
and,
go ahead, I'm
we
sorry.
We had a majority that did not want to call a special meeting.
Now, there will be a meeting today. It's
correct.
It's not a specially called meeting because of this. It was already set on the agenda, a week or two ago, to move it today?
Yes, that's correct. You know, normally we would have had our board meeting on December 9th, last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
But language and statute changed as to when new board members could be sworn in. They could only be sworn in on the second Friday or after, within 15 days.
Oh, okay.
So that was last Friday, so after the 9th.
Sure.
And so to stay in compliance with that statute, we had to change the date of our board meeting. The board chambers were not available on Wednesday this week, and so we moved it to today, Monday. And so our two new board members, Jim Whitaker and Julia Burns, are going to be sworn in. Dr. Kerr is going to be there, as she has been at all of our board meetings in the last few months, to speak to the conditions. And then that will be an opportunity for our new board to review this decision that I made and have any discussion about it.
Amy, I want to ask you one last question. Do you have a feeling, have parents just thrown their hands up and gone, yeah, whatever, this year's so far has been a waste anyway. We were this, we were that, we were in, we were out, now we're out again. I don't care. Whatever it is, whatever it is.
Well, there might be a few people who feel that way. I have not heard that personally. I continue to receive phone calls and email messages from parents who are very concerned, on both sides of the spectrum, those who want to keep their kids home and don't want to let them go out the door because they're concerned about the virus, to the opposite end of the spectrum where, families just want their kids back to normal and back on campuses. And I understand all of that. So I just want to say that this decision was not made lightly and has been very, very difficult, knowing that kids need to be at school. That's where they belong. That's where they do their best work, most of them anyway. And so I'm determined, to get them back on campuses in January.
Yeah. Well, from all indications so far, the greater Sacramento region, which we are in, has been doing well. We're up to 15.1% of ICU bed capacity now. We have to stay above that 15% in order to come out of this. We're pretty much into the stay-at-home order till the end of the year. I know that doesn't affect the schools, but it seems that people are starting to do the right thing, and I hope they continue to do the right thing and protect us all. I was speaking to a student yesterday, actually, from Argonaut, and I said, have you talked to any of your teachers? What are your teachers saying? And he said, well, we were talking about this one teacher, and he said that he's been telling everybody what we do, not necessarily in school, but what we do outside of school will basically determine when we'll be able to get back on campus again. And that's very true. That's true for everybody. For everybody,
Definitely.
So, well, Dr. Slavinsky, thank you very much for visiting with us. And again, we'll be covering the board meeting today. It starts at 3:30, and you'll be able to watch it here on the KVGC Facebook page. And if you want to take part in the meeting, the Zoom address is on the school webpage, correct? The school board webpage?
Yes, that's correct. And can I make just one more comment?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, we need our community's help with this, So if there's anyone out there who wants to help us out, if you have a bachelor's degree and you want to substitute teach, we'll help you get started with that. It would be so awesome to have more people coming and helping us. If there are other ways that you want to help and contribute to the health and safety to get our kids back on campuses, we want to talk to you, and we're open arms, and we'll take all the help that we can get.
All right. Dr. Slavinsky, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Amador County Unified School District Superintendent Amy Slavinsky. We've got news coming up top of the hour.